Do you like Jesus? Yes, I hope you hear me this morning. So when we begin to look at Caleb, not only does his name mean forceful, and he was ready to force this thing. I'm ready to take by force everything that God promised me. He told me I can have the promised land, and I'm going to take it by force. See, the thing about your faith, the scriptures say now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What your faith really does, it forces you to see that you got something that you can't see. Oh, come on and say amen. No, I can't see the Holy Ghost, but by faith I know I got the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah, I can't see heaven, but by faith I know I got a possession in heaven. Oh, come on and say amen. I can't see salvation, but by faith I force my way to see it. Oh, come on and say amen. You see, when you got faith that forces, or faith that's forceful, you can be like the woman with the issue of blood. She forced her way through the crowd, and she forced her hand forward, and she forced virtue to come out of Jesus's garment. Can I get a witness in here? When we begin to look at Caleb, and I said his name means forceful, but it also means dog. See, Caleb had the faith like a dog. He said, Caleb was fully with me. He has fully followed me. I'm reminded of how a dog will follow his master. We need to know that God is our master, and we need to follow him wherever he goes. Oh yeah, even if it's danger around, we need to still follow our master. I'm reminded of a little dog my daddy had. That little dog was the smartest dog I ever seen, and her name was Shelly. Shelly was a faithful dog. He was in the hospital for a while. When he came home, I told Shelly to move back, but Shelly wanted to get close to him, and I've never seen her bite anybody, but she tried to bite me that day because I was keeping her from her master. So what I'm trying to say here, you got to realize how faithful you have to be. If anything gets in the way between you and God, you need to begin biting it and say, you better get out of my way because I got to get to where my master is. But let me tell you a little more about Shelly. Shelly was so faithful that one day my sister T, she started running up the street because she would go on her daily jogs, and Shelly started to follow, and she told Shelly, get back. But Shelly acted like she was going back, and then she turned around while she was on the highway, and here comes Shelly running right behind her. She was so faithful that she followed her up the road, but look at what happened to her. While she was following the master, she got ran over and died. But you know one thing, we can't say nothing bad about Shelly, because Shelly was faithful until death. So what I'm trying to ask you is, what kind of spirit do you have? Will you be faithful unto death? Come on and say yes here. Oh yeah, Caleb was like a dog. You gotta hold on to it. If God promised it to you, you gotta say, I'm gonna hold on, because you'll find out later, when Caleb was 80 years old, he went up to Joshua and said, give me this mountain because God promised it to me. So you can't be forgetful. You see, you gotta be like Caleb. You gotta be like a dog. A dog can smell something. He can smell a blessing in the air. If you start to cook, he said, I know I need to get to the house because something's going on at the house. If somebody walking through the woods, a dog can hear what's going on. What I'm trying to tell you today is that if you can be faithful to God, then you'll have a discernment, and you'll be able to hear what's going on. You'll be able to hear the promises of God. You can be like Caleb. You can be a dog about it. When somebody asks you what kind of spirit you got, you say, I got the Holy Ghost, but I got the faith of a dog. In other words, when I grab hold of it, I'm not going to let it go. You got to be like Caleb. If you ever fed a dog and another dog comes up, even though he's still eating, he's looking at whoever it is, and he start growling to let them know, you're walking on my turf. this belongs to me. So I'm trying to get you to a place to realize you need to have faith like a dog. Even though I'm eating what God put here, don't you try to take what he gave me, because I got enough faith to hold on. Come on and say yes here. I'm going to be a dog today. I'm going to get somebody and I'm going to let them know. You know what about a dog? He'll let you know when something's going on. He'll begin to bark when he sees something. He'll begin to cry when something goes wrong. He'll begin to whelp.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now as we turn our attention to your word. Pray that the Holy Ghost would take the text and tailor it so that you reach and meet each one of us right where we are. Underneath the skin, the reality of our decision making. And infuse your word that we might do and think and say what pleases you. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to Psalm number 51 and verse 10. Psalm number 51 and verse 10. Recorded are these words: create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, I just want to be right. I just want to be right. When David asks God to create in him a clean heart, historically, it is after he has fallen. It is after he has committed sin that stunk in the nostrils of God. It is after he has made mistakes. It is after he has done what the flesh has driven him to do. It is after he displeases God. It is after he knows he's hurt the heart of God. And it is at this point when he has done the things of the flesh and desires to do them no more. It is after he has come to that point of maturity in understanding that these things of the flesh will perish and pass, but only what you do for God will last. It is after he has come to the revelation of his own experiences in and after God has been good to him. It's amazing that even though God has been good to us, we've not been good to God. It's amazing that God keeps on opening doors, keep on making ways, keep on lifting us up, keep on doing wonderful things for us. And it isn't until we find ourselves in a place where we have fallen so low that our heart truly hurts, because it has hurt the heart of God, that we come to this place. David says, create in me. Listen, I love this because he's making it very personal. He's taking responsibility for his sins. And can I say to you that you never really come to the point where you really want God to do something real with you until you admit you are part of the problem. When you stop pointing the finger and blaming everybody else and take responsibility for what you did, for what you wanted to do, for what was in your mind and for what was in your heart and for what came out of your actions, it's not until you realize, hey, I am a corporate in this problem. I am a factor in this mess. And I want God to create in me, not in you. And what I love about this is he's saying, I just want to be right. It's one thing for God to want me to be right. It's one thing for you to want me to be right. But it's another thing for me to want me to be right. And can I tell you, when I want to be right, things will change. Things will change. It's interesting that he uses the word create. But it's the same word that's used in Genesis 1 and 1. When it talks about in the beginning God created. It is from the same word to fashion and to form that David asks God to create in him a clean heart. It's important to understand, listen, that there are some things, because he's already acknowledged, I was born in sin. I was shapen in iniquity. He already made it clear that I've got two strikes against me. If I'm ever going to get this thing right, I need to infuse some divine help. I need somebody stronger than me, bigger than me, wiser than me, who's more capable than me to help me in this walk. He depends on God by asking God to create, to form, to fashion, listen, out of nothing, something. I don't believe you got that. See, that's why it doesn't really matter what you're working with. Because God shows the paradigm in the beginning. He was working with nothing in the beginning. He's used to working with nothing and making something out of it. That's why you don't let the devil get you down that you're not all of this and you've not been that and you're not all of these things that everybody think you ought to be. You are enough for God to work with. I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care how messed up your life is. I don't care how backwards you've been. You are enough for God to work with. That ought to be an encouraging word for somebody today. That ought to be enough to encourage somebody else with. I don't care who the drunkard is, down, face down in the gutter, you can tell him, brother, you're enough for God to work with. I don't care how far somebody has failed and messed up, you can encourage and tell him, sister, you're enough for God to work with. You remember the woman who met Jesus at the well, and Jesus wanted a drink of water. And he said, give me a drink of water. And she said, how is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water? You know we don't have no dealings one with another. You don't really know who I am. Jesus said, I know who you are. I know your pedigree. I know your background. I know where you come from. I know what you're doing right. You had five. Well, I don't even know what to call them. I'll say. And the one you're with right now belongs to somebody else. You don't think I know you? And listen, he changed the mistress into a missionary because she was just enough for him to work with. I wish I had a helper in the house. I'm trying to tell you, no matter what your story is, God can turn it into a success story. Create in me a clean. This word carries four senses that the word represents: clean, as in physically, clean chemically, clean ceremonially, and clean morally. In this text, David was saying clean as in morally. Create in me a moral heart, meaning a godly heart, a righteous heart, a pure heart, clean heart, something that you can get glory from. Because God looks on the heart. He's not like man who stops his looks at the surface. God looks at the hidden, at the invisible, at the unseen. He searches the innermost parts. And that's where he sees what you're really made of. Or we look at each other and we judge one another from the surface, and we judge one another from the looks, and we judge one another from the outset and from the onset and from the looks and from what we see. But there's so much more underneath the skin. And it's strange, but we can make up and fake up the outside. But the inside is real. That there is no makeup for the heart. It is what it is. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. If it's weak, it's weak. If it's strong, it's strong. The heart is what it is, and that's what God wants to know, that it is real as it is, whatever it is. And some of us, we come and we pretend and we perform, and we play church on Sundays. But God says your heart is far from me. You know the verbiage. You know how to say the right words. You know the movements. You know how to jump and clap and foot tapping. You know how to do that. You know how to wave the hand in a holy way. You know how to do all of that. But the heart is far from me. And so he says, clean, listen at this, heart. And this word heart again represents the inner man. It represents the will. It represents the understanding. It represents the heart. He says, and it's important to understand this, I want a clean inner man. I want a clean mind. I want a clean will. I want a clean understanding. And see, one of the things that you can always tell about other folk is how they speak about other folk, what's in their heart. Because if you have a clean mind, you want to assume, presume that other folk have a clean mind. If you have a clean thought, you think other folk have clean thoughts. However you process stuff generally is how you perceive and project stuff on other folk. If you ain't right, you think everybody else. If you lying, you think everybody. If you cheating, hooking, and crooking, you think everybody else is doing what you are doing. And that's why he says, I want to make sure all of this stuff underneath the skin is clean, is right, is worthy to be in your presence. Create in me a clean heart. Now notice the emphasis that he places on this. Oh God. He's not talking to the preacher, the priest, the pastor, the teacher, the counselor. He's talking to the one who can do something about it. Can I tell you, my brothers, there are some times in our lives when nobody can help us but the Lord. And we ought to have a relationship with him where we can go to him and tell him what it is we need, what it is we want, what it is we desire. And in those times, we're able to find out that he can help us when no one else can. A clean heart is what God wants in every believer, in every worshiper, in every Christian. And to get to that point where you're ready for a clean heart, listen, it's all right, because God, if he has to create it, in other words, if there's nothing about you that can make it on your own, he's willing, if you're really willing and ready for it, to do it for you. He'll do it for you. There are things when we have to throw our hands up and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? If you don't help me, I can't be helped. And that comes a time, a real time, when you need to own up to that. There are just some things you can't do on your own. There are just some things I know I can't do on my own. I stop wasting my time trying. I call on the Lord, who's able to do all things. Oh, God. It's emphatic because he means it. He's sincere. He's passionate. We're talking about creation in this verse, but we're also talking about conversion. Because the creation is to create a conversion, to convert his heart from what it is to what it ought to be. And look at what he says, and renew a right spirit within me. And renew. Renew means to be new. To be new. One of the things that we need to understand about David is he gives God the creative ability in the beginning of the verse by literally saying, God, do what you want to do. Let me tell you what I want. I want a clean heart. But however you get to it, by whatever ways and means necessary to make it so, God, I'm yours. So when he says renew, causatively, it means three things. It means rebuild, repair, or renew. I said rebuild, repair, rebuild, or renew. Now here's the thing that you need to understand. He's telling God, take whatever path you need to take. I don't really know the condition. I don't really know how messed up I am. All I know is I'm messed up enough that my decisions come out messed up. All I know is I'm messed up enough that my thoughts come out messed up. All I know is that my feelings come out messed up. All I know is the things I find myself doing that I ought not do come out messed up. So it leads me to believe that underneath my skin, I'm, help me somebody. I know they got a whole lot more messed up folk in the house than are admitting this morning. But here's what he's saying. I don't know how bad I messed up. But what I want you to do is fix me. Fix me, Lord Jesus. Fix me. Whatever it takes to fix me, Lord. Listen at this now. Repair. Because sometime all your heart need is a little repair. Repair. It's bad, but it ain't that bad. We don't need a triple bypass. Might need to just put a little stent in. Lord, I wish I had somebody. But then, I might not think it's that bad, but when you open me up, you might find that it's a lot worse than first thought to be. So you might have to rebuild. And that's a little more involved process than repairing. But then you might open me up and have to close me back up till you find me a new heart. Yeah. And then you have to renew by making it new. Renew means to be new. And so however you need to do, whatever you need to do to make me what I ought to be, just do it. Just do it. And look at what he says. He says, and renew a right spirit. So if he requests a right spirit, then that suggests that he knew there was a wrong spirit in him. And can I tell you, a bad heart and a wrong spirit go together. Somebody didn't get that. I said a bad heart and a wrong spirit, they go together. That's why if my bad heart and your bad heart and my wrong spirit and your wrong spirit touch up, they're going to agree. That's why the Bible don't say, it does not say try the spirit by the spirit. Because if my spirit is wrong and your spirit is wrong, it's a meeting of the heart. But it says try the spirit to see whether it be of God. There is a difference. You're trying the spirit by the standard that God has set. And if it don't meet that standard, it ain't God's spirit. He says a right spirit. This word comes from the word ruach. It means breath, life. Listen at this, breathe, wind. He's talking about a right spirit, God God's Spirit. After you clean my heart out, after you clean my heart up, after you get my heart straight, don't let it be contaminated.